Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Cinematic Universe listeners. It's Seb here. I'm not actually on this episode that you're about to hear, except for doing this little bit at the start. But this is just a little insert we've added in, just to kind of give subscribers, listeners, a bit of an update on where things are up to with our scheduling, because we've had a few issues recently. And we've talked about it a bit on Twitter, but for those of you who don't follow us on Twitter, but also just as an update to what we've said on there. So what you're about to hear is a minisode that was recorded by Joe and Reese a little while ago to catch up on various news matters. It was recorded long enough ago that it doesn't take into account things like the Endgame trailer or the James Gunn news. We'll be picking up on a few things like that as soon as we can with news bits that we've done. Obviously, I'm aware as well that you're all waiting for our Captain Marvel episode. We're gratified that you really want to hear what we had to think about that. For a combination of various issues that have included illness on my part, work scheduling conflicts on Joe's part, and also scheduling conflicts with our guest for that episode, we weren't able, at quite short notice, we were unfortunately unable to record the episode on the weekend that we intended to, which was the weekend just after the film had come out. The episode was then recorded the weekend just gone, and then unfortunately there have been some technical issues with it. We are working to attempt to get together and restore the audio for that. The worst case scenario is that we will actually have to go away and completely re-record that episode. We really don't want to do that, but that's the situation that we're in, is that we're working to get that Captain Marvel episode edited and finished and out as soon as we can, hopefully by the end of this week. You know, and I know that kind of since the end of last year we've had some issues with schedules. We didn't get to our Aquaman episode, which we are going to look to do next month when it comes out on home release. Obviously next month we've got some major releases coming out with Shazam and then obviously Endgame. We have been looking at various things to do with the podcast and our scheduling and our kind of time pressures. Also a few things like the Patreon. We're looking to make some changes to Cinematic Universe and how it's delivered, and also to give that Patreon a bit of a refresh and make sure that there's a bit of a benefit for those of you who continue to back us, because we really appreciate you keeping us going with that. And as I say, you know, there are some kind of positive changes in the pipeline that should also have a positive effect on the benefit that you get out of the Patreon. So stay tuned for all of that. Kind of have to be vague about it at the moment, but hopefully it will improve things for everybody. But the main thing to take away is, you know, I know it can seem from all of these scheduling issues and taking a while to get episodes out so far this year, you know, that there are problems with the podcast or that it's going to go away. None of that is the intent at all. You know, we are looking to push on with it, but it's just because of various things that have gone on, we've just had to look at kind of how we approach it. So as I say, major episodes coming up in April, fully intend to do those. Captain Marvel will be on the way as soon as we can do it. And we really appreciate kind of everybody's patience in waiting for us to get that episode out. In the meantime, here's Joe and Reese doing their Joe and Reese thing and talking about a whole bunch of stuff. And yeah, as I say, you'll hopefully be hearing main episodes with all of us on again very soon. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to a Cinematic Universe minisode. I'm your host, Joe Cunningham, and joining me to bridge the extended gap between our Mystery Men and Captain Marvel episodes is...
Reese Williamson. Me.
Hey, it's me, Joey. Hi. And Reese.
Yay.
Off the leash.
Like the old days, Joey. Let's open a can of whoop-ass on... No, we never did that in the old show. I don't know why I'm saying that. But
no.
We'll just
what we do need to open is a creaky old book full of superhero movie news. But what I was thinking is, because Seb and James aren't here, and, you know, while they're away, should we just talk about the most anticipated movie release of the year?
Yeah, you bet. Men in Black International.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not excited for that. What do you mean?
I'm glad you brought up the Liam Neeson vehicle.
Chapter 2, what do you mean?
I'm super excited about Detective Pikachu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you see the latest Snorlax design? Cool.
Did I? I'm wearing all my t-shirt right now, Jerry. That's how up to a date I am.
I do need our listeners to know that I am unironically excited for that movie. I think it looks amazing.
Well, because it's scratching. Well, you've got the major Ryan Reynolds itch. You're my age.
Yeah, but I'm a bit more lukewarm on Ryan Reynolds now because Deadpool 2 kind of left me a bit sour.
Oh, okay, that's a bit harsh for one film he's made, but okay.
Yeah,
but also you're of my age, which means that we sort
grew
of
up
peak,
with Pokemon,
we're
yeah.
peak Pokemon people, which is that, you know, we grew
Pokemon
we
Red.
Played, yep, I was, and then, oh, and then I was gold. Blue. I was blue, man.
Red then gold.
Blue then
and
silver.
And then I stopped.
This is why we get on. This is why this chemistry works. We're on either sides of the coin. We should trade now. Let's have you got your link cable around? We should. Does it reach from London to Nottingham?
Oh, I never had a link cable, but my friends did. So all you needed was one friend to bring it to the. To
oh,
the
I was
together,
yeah, and I was the friend with the link cable. I was that cool. I was that cool 17-year-old at school in my tuck shop during lunch when all of the other boys were talking to birds on their phone. We were in a single gender school, but talking to birds on their phone. Did we have phones by then? I'm not sure. And I was the one playing Pokemon in the old tuck shop where we were supposed to be playing chess or doing our homework. Cool guy.
So yeah, movie looks cool. Movie looks really cool. Just design-wise, Reese, Oscar winner next year? Best visual effects?
Professor Oak? I think, yes, I'll put a bet right now for £1,000 that it will win best VFX.
Great. Well, we're both betting that, so no one will lose any money.
Yeah, no, hey, we all win.
Reese.
Uh-huh.
Segue. The Oscars happened since we last did the podcast, and I just thought we should update listeners for anyone who's not been paying attention. Black Panther won 3 Oscars for its score, which is pretty good considering the MCU kind of gets criticised fairly regularly for having generic scores. For its costume, which felt like a bit of a no-brainer, but knowing the way the Oscars were going, it wasn't any sure thing. And also production design, which was very cool. And it also won Best Picture, didn't it, Reese?
It did. It won Best Picture. Well done. Green Book, weirdly, they announced that it came last in the rankings. They never do that, but this year they announced it came last in the rankings. Black Panther won. And then Chadwick Boseman came out and he beat up Viggo Mortensen. It was crazy. Such a crazy show. I can't. And with no host. There's no host and it was beaten up. It was crazy.
Dear. And Spider-Man Into... I'm just going to let that stay there. Yeah, Nifa. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won for Best Animated Film, which was richly deserved. Mm-hmm. It felt like a bit of a vindication. I think, sure. For a few years back when the first Lego movie was completely snubbed. And it felt like because the Academy had gone, oh, the animation's not as pretty as like what Pixar and DreamWorks are doing, rather than which was the best animated film. And I think there was it felt to me like a danger that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse would get because the animation approach was different, that it might, you know, I can't remember the technicalities, but I know it does something like it only has like 2 frames where normal animation has 3 or something like that, right?
It's something like that. I run a cinema in London. It's lovely. The big studios come down. And I had like twice actually, some customers came out and said, you're playing the 3D version instead of the 2D version? My eyes hurt. And I was like, no, this is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
They did. They acclimatized, but they were very annoyed on behalf of their children for a hot minute.
But it looked a bit weird,
but you can't quite put your finger on it, but it looks a bit weird, at least at the beginning.
The worry was that Oscar voters would look at that and go, oh, well, it's different. It doesn't have, like, the attention of craft that a Pixar movie has, when in actuality it probably had more thought put behind every individual frame and shot.
I also
looks gorgeous as a result.
But let's also not kid around. I mean, in my opinion, let's not kid around. If Spider-Man had come out when Incredibles did, and Incredibles had come out when Spider-Man did, I don't even think we'd be having this conversation. I think Incredibles would have taken it. I think the Spider-Man. I do. I'm not saying that Spider-Man didn't deserve the win. I thought Incredibles 2, unlike you guys, was bored. I think I fell asleep for the last quarter. But
I thought it was quite good, but nowhere near the level of Spider-Verse.
The timing for Spider-Man was just very helpful. You know, it was released, you know, in Oscar season, not intentionally, but as it turned out, that was obviously very helpful to the campaign.
And had this kind of long tail at the box office as well, where more and more people were discovering it and appreciating it. And yeah, it felt like it didn't have a chance to exit the conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, so that was nice. Black Panther and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the two best superhero movies of last year, winning Oscars.
Will this be the biggest year by far, you know, easily for superhero movies at the Oscars with those four wins? I mean,
yeah, it must. I can't imagine. I mean, I think unless The Dark Knight won more beyond, but I don't think it won four.
And did Suicide Squad win more than just that one? Did it win?
No, did just win that one. Yeah,
for the lizard.
No,
Wally Akinubi. I don't know.
Wait, Reese, have you stumbled across another segue? Because Will Smith is being recast in Suicide Squad 2. So James Gunn's Suicide Squad 2, which is ploughing ahead, I think, bizarrely, given that the DC Universe has found another avenue for Harley Quinn. So there is another Harley Quinn movie. And the two good things that were that people took out of Suicide Squad, right? It was like, well, it's a horrible, offensive mess of a movie, but we like Will Smith and we like Margot Robbie and we like them together in the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
Margot Robbie they've got the opportunities for her elsewhere. It's not been confirmed whether she is or isn't appearing in Suicide Squad 2.
She will.
She will. I think she'll have to.
Sorry, Joe, you keep on calling this film Suicide Squad 2. I don't know to what you refer. I just know that James Gunn is working on a film called The Suicide Squad, so I don't know if you've got...
Oh, really?
Just update your notes a little bit there, bud.
Is that actually accurate?
Oh yeah, it's called The Suicide Squad. Isn't that delightfully? It's just so dorky. I love it. It's great.
Is that just going to be the naming convention for DC movies now?
Well, I think it's if it doesn't already have one, and if it does, take it away. So look for Rocketeer coming out in 2022.
Ooh, interesting.
Nice.
Okay, so Will Smith is being recast in The Suicide Squad. Which is, you know, not great news, given that he was one of the good things about the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think seems kind of bizarre that surely they signed him up to a multi-picture deal. But apparently it's scheduling conflicts, but this is a Suicide Squad movie that they've been in no rush to make. I imagine Will Smith has just said, look, I don't want to do it, and if you make me do it, that's going to compromise me ever showing up in any of your studio's pictures again. So
he's very expensive for what James Gunn wants from the character in the movie. You know,
maybe
you would have thought Will Smith will have again something in his contract that says, yeah, if you do a second one, I want a shitload more money.
Yeah. So the rumor is, and it sounds like a fairly strong bet at this point, that Idris Elba will be replacing him in the role, which, as replacements go, not bad.
Well, except that name a good Idris Elba performance in a film. What was that? You can't. Yeah, because they don't exist. he's in Luther, and he's great in The Wire, and he is bad in all films that he's been in. That's just I tell you what, he's quite good in Molly's Game. Boom. But he's bad in all the other films. So actually, I know it's sort of, you feel, your gut feels good when you read that news. Yeah, Idris Elba. Yeah, the same level as Will Smith. And then actually, if you think about it, you know, Will Smith, The Fresh Prince, Mr. Independence Day, Ali, Men in Black. I could go on. Idris Elba just doesn't, he's just not, it's not the same.
And he's not a box office draw. That feels fairly apparent at this point. He was the villain in Star Trek Beyond, which was no smash by any extent. You've got the Dark Tower, which flopped, but was also terrible.
Quite liked it.
No,
secret,
come on.
Secret. Don't tell anybody. I watched it on a plane 18 months ago. Don't you tell anybody that I liked it.
But he's got a big year lined up this year because he is starring as Brixton in Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, which I don't know, is either going to be ridiculous fun or one step too far for that franchise. And then he is playing McCavity in Cats, which is the worst. If that is not the worst movie of all time, I will be stunned. Tom Hooper directing Cats.
Have you seen the latest last season of Kimmy Schmidt by any chance?
I'm like 2 episodes into the second batch.
Okay, I'm going to spoil it, a minor plot point. There's a running gag in one episode of that, which is that Cats is like it's sort of an improvised musical. The way it exists is just wannabe actors are in the crowd and they just join the cast and make up a fake silly name and they just get involved with the musical sequences. And I think after having seen that, I've got a whole new appreciation of Cats, and I'm pretty hyped. Maybe that's how they're going to do the movie. Maybe it'll be Tom Hooper just calls action. Make it up, guys. Idris, just do something. I don't know. That would be quite fun.
But
we'll see.
Maybe that's how James Gunn will approach the Suicide Squad as well. I don't know. I feel like a new Suicide Squad movie can't be worse than the first.
Mm.
But I just think when DC have this world of possibilities at their feet, why make that movie? Because it feels like one of those movies that is a, you know, fool me once kind of movie from an audience perspective. We've showed up for this nonsense. Yes, we gave you a lot of money, but it's not going to happen again. especially not when you are losing Will Smith, not 100% having Margot Robbie. And what's the hook? It's the same name as the last one, but most of the people in it aren't the same.
With a definite article. Don't forget. Maybe the nerds like us, who hated the first one because we're nerds, we know that James Gunn's doing this one, so we'll go see it. And then all of the, you know, idiots that aren't nerds, they don't care. They'll go see it anyway. So it's fine.
I don't know. I feel like Suicide Squad's one of those movies that made
people
money
because
of when it came out. Because it came out kind of like after it was on, was it not on the back of, it was on the back of like Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool buzz, wasn't it? Where it was like, R-rated, like it felt like it had been specifically designed off the back of those two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people turned up because the trailer was really well put together and ticked all the boxes that people wanted. And then the movie was a mess. Almost like, you know, Clash of the Titans turning up just after Avatar. Oh, it's got Sam Worthington in it and it's 3D. Let's all go to it. It makes a shitload of money. They make Wrath of the Titans and everyone goes, no.
Joey, I think you've just figured out how Hollywood works. So well done. You get a gold medal.
Alice in Wonderland. Happened with Alice in Wonderland.
He's got it. Ants and A Bug's Life. It's all there. It's all there. Just so William Goldman. Nobody knows anything. You know, that's the truth.
Suicide Squad 2 is happening.
It's not called that, Joseph Cunningham.
I'm not calling it the Suicide Squad.
Please, I quit this podcast forever if you don't call it the right name.
Suicide Squad 2 is happening, but just with different people.
You piece.
Okay, let's talk about another movie that we are more certain that Jared Leto is turning up in. That is Morbius. Reese, have you been looking forward to Morbius?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously no, but also I was totally with you on Venom. Venom was like maybe some of the most fun I had in the cinema last year. So weirdly, maybe I'm ready for Morbius. I don't know. Yeah, fine.
Here's the flip side of that. Venom was bad but good because of Tom Hardy, and they just went, look, we've got a kind of a one-of-a-kind star here who we can just let go and see what he does, and it'll be amazing.
Get in the lobster tank. Let him get in the lobster tank. You do whatever he says, and you film it.
Morbius also has kind of one of those one-of-a-kind stars, right. But this one sends dead rats and used condoms to his co-stars.
Yeah.
Jared Leto let off the hook is less appealing to me than Tom Hardy let off the hook.
Yeah, on paper that's right, but yeah, I guess I just have a kind of a weirded, and I, you know, if you'd have told me a year ago I was about to say this, I'd have slapped you right around the mouth. But a weird emotional investment in the, you know, in the expanded non-Spider-Man Sony Spider-Man Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that is the official title, that whole thing.
Well,
I don't know why.
As we found out in the post credits to Venom, the events of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse are taking place as part of the wider Spider-Man multiverse.
Sure, fine.
So this is just one of the multiverses that that is connected to Miles Morales' universe.
Do you think that we will see Tom Hardy's Venom in Morbius at the end? Probably, right?
I think that's more possible than seeing Tom Holland pop up in anytime soon.
Because what I thought was that when Venom came out, this would all be cleared up, but it hasn't been. Is it a contractual thing? Is it something in the Marvel contract which means that even though they make the Spider-Man movies with Marvel, and they're allowed to then put the Marvel sticker on the Venom stuff, they can't have Tom Holland's Peter Parker / Spider-Man in those movies? Do we know? Or they don't want to do it for some reason?
I don't think we know.
Okay.
Don't think we know.
That's useless to me, Jared. No. Thank you for that. You've given me nothing there.
If I had to speculate, it would be that... it would be that Marvel said, like, we'd rather you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony have kind of agreed for now.
Sure. It's interesting. Yeah. I'd love to be in those rooms. I'd love a, you know, let's get a Sony email leak part two. I'd love to see Feige and whoever's running Sony now. It's not Amy Pascal, although her production company is attached to Venom, right? It's just that she's not at Sony anymore. Is that right?
I think she's producing anything that is spider related,
right,
for Sony and Disney. Yeah.
So, who's directing Morbius?
Oh God, that is a great question. I was about to tell you about the cast.
No, isn't it the Elite Squad guy? Is it the Sacred
Squad? Oh yes,
guy?
Yes, it's Daniel Espinosa. Yeah, yeah, he did Easy Money and Life and Safe House. Yeah. Yes,
I like Life a whole lot.
We have talked about. Oh really?
I like Life so much. I sat in the second row. I was right there, Gyllenhaal, and you know it was like Alien, but like more like a weird squiddy kind of thing. I loved it. Reynolds getting smushed up. Okay, well,
not bad in like a this movie is doing stuff that is terrible. Just bad in a like I watched it and had forgotten it 5 minutes afterwards.
I remember it every day since I saw it, every single day.
I've also seen Easy Money and Safe House, and I would say the same thing about both of those.
Sorry, I was eating a crisp. Sorry, I could have responded really in a good way there, but I was eating a crisp.
Great. Well, I'm sure our listeners will really appreciate that sound.
No. Edit it out! Edit the crisp out!
So, Reese, cast of Morbius.
Uh-huh.
Tyrese Gibson has been cast to play an FBI agent who is on the hunt for the living vampire Morbius in the movie.
One of those. We've never seen that sort of character before in a movie. That's crazy.
No. An FBI agent. What do you think of Tyrese?
He shares half of his name with mine, so I love him.
Okay. I don't really get Tyrese.
No.
Even in the Fast movies, which I generally enjoy that franchise, especially kind of around 5, 6, I've never
He's a nothing. He's a nothing in those movies. He ranks below, like, the SUV, you know, which doesn't even do much.
He's the comic relief, but isn't very funny.
He's not funny at all!
No. Okay, so the next cast member is Matt Smith, who talk about someone who doesn't really make an impact on movies.
Yeah, he hasn't done many. He was in Ryan Gosling's weird directorial debut and probably
Lost River.
Sole movie he'll ever direct. What else has he even been in, Matt Smith? He's got a weird face. That's the truth.
He was in Terminator Salvation, wasn't he?
Fine, yeah.
Where he was preparing to have a much bigger role than he did. He was in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Okay.
You're right, mostly. And then The Crown, I guess.
He's got a weird face that is not... It shouldn't be blown up to a large size. And that's... He's just... You know, he's involved now in this situation that he's in. And it's not his fault. You know, the Doctor...
Well, anyway.
Yes.
Let me tell you who he's playing, Rhys.
Fine.
He is playing the villain, who is called Loxius Crown.
Wow.
He is a villain who featured in X-Men and Spider-Man comics and also went by the name of Hunger. He will be, so this is from the Hollywood Reporter. He's described as Morbius's best friend, who also suffers from the same blood disease affecting Morbius. So he has enhanced abilities and vampire-like powers. So they're buddies, and I guess they fall out. I guess that sounds like a bit of a Professor X Magneto kind of relationship. I don't know. I imagine one of them will say, I want to eat humans. The other one will say, I don't.
Have you got the script in front of you, Joe? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah,
one of them, page 58.
I want to eat humans. Says. Morbius says, "I don't." They fight. And then Tom Hardy comes in and says, "You a loser like me, Morbius." Okay, I'm going to carry on with the casting. Adria Arjona, who apparently appeared in Pacific Rim Uprising, a movie I didn't see, and she's going to be in Good Omens. She plays a character called Martine Bancroft, who will be the love interest for Morbius. Jared Harris has been cast in the movie because a movie can never have too many Jareds, and he is going to be Morbius's mentor. And so I don't really know what that means. I'm sure Seven James would be able to help us out and say, of course, in the comics, Morbius' mentor is this guy.
No, because nobody knows. I mean, is it more? You know, Morbius isn't Venom. Venom very much does have his own, you know, lengthy sort of popular run in the comics. That's not what Morbius is. Morbius doesn't have, like, a known supporting cast or known villains or known anything. He was, I believe, where everyone knows him from, is from the Spider-Man cartoon in the 90s, which he's great in. But this will be just like a sort of a whole cloth, you know, new take on us. It will be like White Blade, I think, is what this movie's going to be.
Oh.
And, you know, are we ready for that? I don't know, we'll see.
Ooh. I feel like I was being slowly talked around and then you said White Blade. God. It's just what the world needs in 2019. Yeah,
exactly, White Blade. Doesn't, you know, Jared Harris's character sounds like, who was it, Chris Christopherson?
Yes, it was.
This is the film. He's a vampire, but he wants to be a goodie on the side of the goodies, and he's fighting another vampire with the same powers. Maybe they know each other from the past. It's White Blade.
Okay, on that bombshell, we'll move on to Trailer Corner. Since we last recorded, there have been 3 trailers. Let's talk about them. I'm going to go from best to worst. So we've got Shazam, Rhys, which I'm rating as the best.
The best.
It looks good, right?
The best trailer award. It does look good. It looks good. It almost looks... I'm worried now that it will be bad. You know? It looks good.
It looks really fun. Yeah. It looks like a different type of superhero story to what we've seen before. I think by the time the movie ends, we're going to get full comic book nonsense and the whole Shazam family turning up. And I think it looks like a hoot. And like the fun little Batman gag in there, that's nice extended universe stuff. That's...
Do you want to know a vibe? Well, maybe we'll say it at the same time if you want to have a guess. That I got a vibe of another superhero film from this trailer that I didn't from the last that surprised me. Do you want to have a guess? We'll say it at the same time.
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
Chronicle.
Yeah. Yes!
It's actually.
Yes!
Why did we get a Chronicle vibe? That's
because,
weird, isn't it?
No, because I think you get like a multiple shots in the trailer. And the idea is in the previous trailer, but you don't get the visuals of his friend, you know, filming him do superhero stuff, and you get like a couple of shots from away. It's the final shot of the trailer, right? When he goes into he flies up, and then he kind of crashes into the apartment building. I got a real Chronicle vibe, and that's fine because there has not been. Chronicle is a very, very interesting, very good superhero movie, And
Invariably be the best movie that either its director or writer will ever be involved with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the writer, yeah, that's a separate issue. But there hasn't really, you know, movies haven't really dug at that, at those ideas of the sort of, you know, found footage plus superheroes since then, I don't think, right? So this, even if this is just merely a piece of Shazam, I'm in for it.
Here's what I think will be interesting, will be how your hardcore DC crowd react to it online. Because, but just also with the way that they turn out for the movie. Because Aquaman and Wonder Woman both rode that line of not being Snyder movies, but also taking themselves seriously enough. I also got an MCU vibe from the trailer that, you know, it has that kind of that irreverence that like that fun is at the forefront rather than grimdark, the universe at stake. And I wonder whether that core DC fan base will turn out for this movie or go, no, do you know what? You're not taking things seriously. You're just like a stupid Marvel movie. We don't want to see this.
Yeah, but when movies make $400 million, which they have to do at this level to be successful, and that's what...
Probably more 600 to 800 range.
Yeah, sure, but also, those people you're describing, they don't really make up a notable quotient of that audience, I don't believe. So, you know, fine, maybe they will whinge. It won't matter, and it won't matter to whether it's good, and it won't matter to whether it's successful. Because as Nixon said, it's the silent majority that pushes these size movies to success or to failure. It's all the people that we never hear from.
I think that it's watching a trailer like this though that makes me even more baffled about Suicide Squad 2. I assume that movie's going to turn up and actually it's going to have like a pretty fun trailer and I'm going to go, oh yeah, fine, that's fine. But I just generally like what DC are doing at the moment in terms of the way that they're lining up their slate anyway. I said this before, but I loved that little glimpse of the Birds of Prey movie. What is that actually called? Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, right? I met the writer
of that film about a month ago in Barnes in my cinema. Sorry, plug number two. Guess what? There's a third plug coming at the end of the show. Okay, continue.
It just looks exciting, and I had fun with Aquaman, and I just like what they're lining up. Yeah, give me another Wonder Woman movie because you did one of those well. Give me no more Ben Affleck because you didn't do that well.
Can we talk about Aquaman just for a hot second?
Well, we can definitely talk about Aquaman, Reese, because did you know that Aquaman 2 is being released on December the 16th, 2022?
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that, and this is why I come to record these shows. It's to learn facts like that.
That is, I mean, great, they're making another Aquaman movie. That's 4 years after the first one.
That is. Why is it going to take them so long? Is it because they'll be so busy making the trench?
Making the trench, yeah.
Yeah. Aquaman 1 is trash, and I hope they never make a sequel. Hattie!
Oh!
It's so rubbish.
No!
Yeah, it's really bad. Sorry.
It's not bad.
Wonder Woman's bad as well.
No, come on.
I can't say that. It's International Women's Day in a matter of hours, so you're right, I can't say that. What? But
You've already said you like Life on this podcast.
Life is so good, and I'm excited for Morbius, and Venom's great too, and the you know, there's other movies about. No, I've just got to be honest, you know.
It's a bad take.
Yeah, cut this. I want this hot take to be a deleted take. Cut this out.
We're leaving it all in.
No!
Okay, so you're wrong about Aquaman, so let's talk about something we can... Oh, no, let's save that. Let's talk about something you haven't seen. There was another Hellboy trailer, Reese. I just wanted to mention it quickly. It looks like the same movie they made before, but with a Hellboy who doesn't have a voice that's appropriate for how he looks. It's weird. The trailer had lots of F-bombs in it. It was like, I don't know, it was like a young kid trying to be cool by swearing. Mm.
This feels like a movie that's sort of both 5 years too early and 5 years too late, kind of.
Yes,
like
that is exactly right.
This this tape probably would have maybe been more successful, weirdly, than the PG-13 take on Hellboy when they first made it. But we're just too close to that version for anyone, and this is too close to it for anyone to care. And I haven't seen the trailer. That's also worth saying.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I think that Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy 3 still gets made eventually.
What?
And that this movie is kind of referred to as like, oh yeah, obviously that was a misstep. The fans didn't like it. We want to, you know, Jason Reitman this. We want to give the fans what they wanted, which was Ron Perlman returning in Hellboy 3. And I reckon we'll get that in like 2025 or something like that.
You're saying this is sort of the Community season 4 of Hellboy. Is that the right season? Did I get the right season? Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, and I think the only question will be, like, how hard this movie bottoms at the box office that it prevents the next one being made. But if this movie makes kind of middling numbers, not enough to make a sequel, but enough to... Which I think is what the Golden Army probably did, was... Mm. Oh, it's making money, but kind of, could we make more money?
But also, don't forget...
I just don't think this is going to work.
This film also has a smaller... you know, potential audience, because it'll be rated R. So, you know, I think it'll be... And David Harbour is a nothing, you know, just in terms of box office.
Yeah.
The director's a nothing. It looks the same as the other ones that nobody came to see anyway.
Is the only draw. So you're kind of looking at like an underworld kind of audience.
Yeah.
Which I know is not Mila Jovovich, but those kind of movies. She wasn't Evil Rules. Yeah.
It's the brunette Mila Jovovich in Underworld.
A movie that you can expect Paul W.S. Anderson to turn up and make.
Oh boy, that's almost the worst review that will ever be written about the new Hellboy. The sort of film that W.S. Anderson could make but hasn't.
Yeah, who knows? It might turn out to be good.
What's its release? Is it a summer release?
Oh, Reese. Keep asking me questions.
I keep asking about release dates. It's like I work in a cinema or something.
Let me find out. Hellboy.
I guess it's possible. If the marketing is.
Oh, is that in April? Is that on the 11th of April?
Oh, Jesus, it's dead. Christ. It's dead. Put it in the grave.
It's coming out next month.
Oh God!
No one is talking about it. The trailer as well. There was a lot of stuff in there that I was like, oh yeah, I have. Seen this scene in the previous movie. I've seen a version of that monster that was cooler. I've seen an actor I was more interested in playing that character. I would say the thing I'm most excited for is Daniel Day-Kim. And aside from that, it's a big old shrug from me. Tell you what it looks better than though, Reese.
Oh my God, your segues tonight are on point.
Dark Phoenix.
Christ.
When was the last time that a trailer kind of implied a first act death of a major character, and rather than kind of letting that sit out there and go, people go, oh my God, did they just reveal that that major character dies quite early on in that movie? Then the director goes on a trade website, goes to gives interview and says, yeah, so, yeah, that character's dead, and yeah, we did it for this reason, and... What? Why are you not letting the movie land that beat? That seems like probably, like, a major emotional beat in the first act of your movie. Why are we finding out through the trailer that Mystique is dying?
Because they think they think by releasing that information, it will sell more than the amount of tickets that they thought it would sell before, which is two tickets, Simon Kinberg and his wife. So they need to can we sell any more tickets than two tickets? And it's like, we'll give out a major plot detail that we killed Jennifer Lawrence. She gets exploded.
But how have they got it this wrong? This quickly, and this quickly, I mean, in terms of the number of films that they've made in this franchise, because, yeah, I mean, and we can talk about, again, the quality of the film. It might end up being a lot better than it looks, but this was a franchise that got kind of solid reviews from First Class, if not, you know, a huge box office return. But, you know, that was a movie that was well-liked and introduced, you know, a younger version of all these characters that people were interested in. Fassbender and McAvoy, very well-received. A movie later, Days of Future Past, at the kind of the height of the MCU's ascent, kind of landed with this, you know, perfect response. You know, I remember when it debuted at Comic-Con and they brought out all of those actors onto the stage and people were like, oh, wow. And I mean, it's not a movie that I hold in the same regard as most people do, but it did incredibly well and kind of felt like it had captured some of that magic of the old X-Men movies whilst forging out its own ground and doing stuff that was a bit more comic booky than the franchise had done in the past. And then Apocalypse landed like a big old turd, and this movie feels like it's kind of like an albatross for Disney and Fox before that deal goes through. Like, we've kind of got to release it because we made it, but...
Yeah, isn't it? What happened was X-Men First Class is a legitimately good film.
Great. My favourite X-Men movie.
And then basically nobody behind the scenes of that film, you know, and by that I mean Vaughn and... oh God, what's Jonathan Ross's wife who wrote the script called? What's her name?
Jane Goldman.
Jane Goldman, right?
Yeah.
Wrote the script, right?
Yeah.
They don't do the rest. Days of Future Past is kind of bad, although loads of people saw it. And yeah. you went to see it out of interest for the combination of the older and the younger characters.
But it's not bad in an Apocalypse way.
No, but it's sort of a bit bad. And then Apocalypse
It doesn't work for me, but I mean, Apocalypse is just fundamentally like badly conceived, badly executed.
The narrative I'm trying to spin is that First Class is the blip. First Class is the anomaly. You know, actually, these X-Men movies have not been made since, we shall not speak his name, but Bryan Singer, you know, who made those first two, and those are two pretty good movies. Although, movies that don't date all that well to the sort of superhero movies that we know of today, they're of their time. But then they were kind of bad X-Men movies made until First Class, which is a blip, and until Logan, which is kind of a blip, because the Wolverine is a bit fine.
But you've got...
And you've got Simon Kinberg, who's never made a movie before.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Got the Fox Disney deal.
Well, yeah.
You know, messing it all up. You've got, you know, my biggest takeaway from this trailer was the fact that you had Simon Kinberg feels like for 1800 years talking about how, oh, they really messed up the Phoenix story in X-Men Last Stand, and he really wants to do it right this time. And then you watch this trailer and you go, hold on, Mystique is Xavier, Phoenix is doing the same stuff, Jessica Chastain is just doing Ronito stuff. You're making the same movie again. What do you mean you made mistakes before? You're doing the same thing, except now these actors we care less about. The movie seems like it's about, it seems like it cost about $25 to make. Wow, this is, yeah, this is a real bust. It's a
literally
bust. It's a bust.
back on the street that Jean Grey grew up in, killing off a major character to set to establish stakes. It seems like the thing they've changed is this time it's actually the Phoenix Force from space. But then actually that kind of diminishes the stuff that they, at least the first, at least the original X-Men franchise had tried to set up the character in a way that would make sense for that. It's just that they didn't stick the landing.
People complain in the original trilogy that they didn't set up the Phoenix stuff enough. Oh well, I suspect they ain't seen nothing yet.
Because in Apocalypse, those younger characters don't land the way that the movie wanted them to land.
Nope.
And the Jean stuff, whilst I think Sophie Turner was probably one of the highlights of that movie, the Phoenix-y kind of stuff that they introduce right at the end feels like a massive afterthought. And if I had to guess, I would imagine there was probably an original plan that said we'll get to Dark Phoenix 3 or 4 movies down the line.
Mm.
But instead they're doing it now, and I don't think anyone's going to care. It's, again, talking about like seeing things that you feel like you've seen before, like I was doing with the Hellboy trailer. But at least when I saw them the first time around with Hellboy, I liked them. If you're showing me X-Men Dark Phoenix, a story I've seen before from a guy who was involved in making it the first time.
And who's never directed a film before. This is his directorial debut.
I hope, in terms of superhero cinema, Simon Kinberg goes away after Fox and Disney come together.
Well, he probably teams up with Amy Pascal. He finds some weird route. He goes with James Gunn. I don't know. They find their ways. They find their ways.
Fox and their X-Men movies that are still yet to be released.
Ooh,
Reese, do you remember New Mutants?
No.
I was very excited about New Mutants. I loved the vibe of the trailer. I like the cast. I really like Anya Taylor-Joy, and I like Maisie Williams, and I thought that looks interesting. And I like the director, who is going to be tackling The Stand next. So I'm glad that something nice has happened for him, despite all of this New Mutants trauma. Yeah,
a real boon to his career, you could say.
Oh, dear.
No, it's a good one.
Yeah, great. New Mutants. Do you remember, Reese, that New Mutants was going to have massive reshoots, and that's why it was delayed so much?
Mm-hmm.
Those reshoots still haven't happened.
That's right.
That's insane. How have the reshoots not happened? What is going on with this movie? I think they'll have to release it contractually, but at this point, I would say there is like a 1% chance that it hits cinemas.
Go on, say it with me. Let's play this game one more time. I'm going to say two words right now. You're going to say them at the same time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lovely time. In 3, 2, 1... Disney Plus. Yeah.
No, it's Disney Plus, isn't it?
We did it.
I said Disney Life, which is the old one,
you.
Isn't it?
Okay, you need to update. It's 2019, not 2017, Joe. Okay, Disney Plus. It's the new thing. It's what they're doing now.
But even that, it kind of feels like, did Disney really want to release it on there?
It's going to be this
slightly more like horror adult-tinged superhero movie that doesn't feel like a great fit for Disney in the first place.
What if they recut it and it's U-rated and it's 58 minutes long? And it's just Maisie Williams playing in a field and turning into a wolf for 30 seconds. We don't know. But it'll get people to sign up because people are idiots.
I don't even feel like the Disney-Fox merger is to blame for the Dark Phoenix and New Mutants.
Really?
Shambles. No, I feel like it's. I don't know. It feels like Fox has just cocked it up. And the people involved in that franchise don't have a proper handle on it anymore.
But how do you square that with...
with Deadpool and Logan. Deadpool,
yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, Deadpool was famously, like, it was the film that the studio didn't want to make until Ryan Reynolds leaked the footage online somehow and managed to get it made. Hmm. And Logan, you know, it was Hugh Jackman, like, had the cachet and with that character that he could keep saying, right, now I want to work with this filmmaker and I want to do that thing. Till the point that three movies in, they got it right.
Mm. And, you know it's a, for that third film,
it took
the same
two
filmmaker
pretty big cock-ups to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. Lunatics running the asylum, Joe. I don't know what to tell you.
But not for much longer.
No. Then it's the Mouse and Goofy and other Disney characters that I can't remember right now.
Well, let me name
Minnie Mouse.
Of them.
Minnie Mouse. There's two. They have two mouses. Star Wars is there, so you know you got Finn and Rey. They're on the.
You get further away.
Get further away. Walt Disney himself.
Loki. That's who you were grasping for, right?
of course.
So Disney Life, Disney Plus. Jesus, Disney Plus is going to be making Suicide Squad 2. No, Disney Plus is going to be making a Loki show. That is the only one that... So Kevin Feige's been doing the press tour for Captain Marvel. And the only show that they are willing to talk about kind of in any concrete terms so far is Loki. So I think we've talked about Scarlet Witch and Vision and Winter Soldier and Falcon as potential shows before. We think they're happening, but they haven't been confirmed yet. Loki is happening. Kevin Feige's been talking about it and has kind of said that the Disney Life, Disney Plus, fucking hell, the Disney Plus shows are going to be, they're going to be kind of linking in with the movies. So it might be that you watch a Falcon and Winter Soldier show and they go on an arc throughout that season and where they end up at the end of that season will play into the movie. And I don't think in any kind of... Tell me if I'm wrong here, Reese. I don't think in any kind of real impactful terms, but it'll be like, oh, this character's turned up now.
This is why he's wearing a different shirt.
Yeah, he's got a different coloured shirt, and it's because he found that shirt in the last episode of that series.
It's a bit like when C-3PO in I think like Star Wars 1 or 2, the new ones, had like a different arm.
It was the red arm, yeah.
And they were read the comics, and you read the comics, it's like, oh, this is how he gets a different arm. He's got
a red arm, yeah. Sure.
sell toys. All we do in all of this is just buy toys. Even if we don't buy toys, this is all this is. It's just toys. It's just toys, guys. I love it. It's just toys.
But we like these toys.
They're my favorite toys. They're the best toys.
So yeah, there is at least going to be some interaction between these TV shows and the movies, which obviously hasn't been the case for Marvel shows beforehand. Loki in particular, we got some more details on that. The showrunner is going to be Michael Waldron, who is a writer who has worked on Rick and Morty. And apparently, Reese, and now this kind of made me less interested in the show, is going to follow Loki as he kind of weaves in and out of history and impacts on historical events.
Oh, God. So it's Dr. Loki.
Dr. Loki, yeah. That doesn't sound like a good hook for that show.
Well, it depends how you spin it, right? If you said to me Tom Hiddleston is the new Doctor Who, I'd get, you know, that's a big hit. And, you know, similarly, a Loki show with Tom Hiddleston back, you know, is it clear that I feel like it's gone back and forth, whether, might he be narrating and it'll be a Journey into Mystery thing where it's a younger version, or is it going to be Tom Hiddleston? Is that clear?
Oh, it's Tom Hiddleston, yeah. It's Tom Hiddleston.
I mean, you know, I trust
Tom Hiddleston
It will be expensive. It won't be like a cheap. It won't be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cough, cough, cough. It'll be like an expensive show, and I guess that will allow it to be kind of disconnected from MCU stuff. But I don't know whether that's a pro or a con.
Well, I think for Loki, you kind of because I think one way or another, he's not coming back to life at the end of Avengers Endgame. I don't know. it feels like that is the end of Loki's life. It has to be.
Yeah, you hope, you hope so.
I think he'll show up in the movie because we're hopping around in time, but I think he will be dead from that point forward. Yeah, so I don't think this one's going to impact as much on in the way that Kevin Feige's talking about.
Do you think Loki will play any part in Endgame? Would he be in it at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Everyone will be in it.
Okay. But
everyone.
But in the past of the sort of chronology of the Marvel Universe, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, hmm.
Yeah. Or even, I don't know, him and Doctor Strange were buddies, weren't they? Maybe Loki was dying on purpose at the start of...
At the twist. I tell you what, he's such a cheeky one, he is. Genuinely, to Hiddleston's Loki, he's just very cheeky. You can't really trust him that much.
I've never really got that vibe from him.
You never got a cheeky vibe?
No. Stabby vibe.
Stabby vibe. He does love... He loves to stab. That's one of his main things.
But yeah, so I think that I would be surprised if this has the same kind of interlinking with future Marvel movies.
It is funny though. Isn't it funny? I'll propose it more as a question that, you know, we did all this 4 years ago, and it's like, Daredevil and Jessica Jones and all these shows, and they're going to be in the Marvel universe. Isn't that but so exciting? And interact.
Here's the difference.
And then they didn't. And then now it's like, Loki and Falcon and Vision. They're going to interact. They'll be in the Marvel universe. Isn't that cool? Like, we were burned on this, guys. Kev Feige, listen, Kev, I love you, buddy.
Last time it wasn't Kevin Feige.
But it was Marvel. I don't care.
It does matter because it was Jeff Loeb and it was the Ike Perlmutter controlled side of Marvel.
But nobody cares about that. People don't care about that.
No, but people who, like us, are aware of that context yes, there is a reason to be more optimistic about and best will in the world, you know? This is a TV show that is starring in its lead role a movie star who has been that character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for 10 years.
So I just was eating a Pringle.
we'll cut that out as well.
I don't know. I genuinely think, because, you know, I think you'll also be able to find... You'll be able to find clips from Feige four years ago, backing up the Jeff Loeb MCU Marvel TV thing as well, and you know the facts of the matter remain, which is that TV shows their length, their lead time, or no, the, you know, their length and their lead time differ to movie lead times and movie budgets and movie spectacle.
Oh yeah, I don't expect it to be on the same level. Even with this, I don't expect it to be delivering on the same level that the movies do.
So I even mean the interaction of the two. I feel like we're again being sold a bill of rights that I think is not achievable. Like what they have done with the MCU, what they've done with those sort of three or four movies a year is incredibly impressive and laudable and will continue. And is very hard to achieve. And I just don't buy that Kevin Feige really thinks that's why this Loki show, and we'll see what the other shows are, but that's why this Loki show is, it's going to be sort of disconnected and through history. It's because he knows that he can't really deliver on that promise for the TV shows.
I think it's achievable, but in a minor interaction fashion that I think if you know you have got, because I also don't expect these to be really multi-season things either.
Okay.
I don't know whether Marvel have talked about that, but I don't expect to be seeing like four seasons of the Loki TV show. I expect it to be like a 6 to 8 episode miniseries. And that's that one. And then next summer we'll get the Falcon and Winter Soldier. And then the next summer we'll get Scarlet Witch and Vision. And that maybe if they know that Scarlet Witch and Vision are gonna be in, you know, in the summer 2020 TV series, that at the end of that series they end up, I don't know, in Africa, that they'll be in Black Panther 2, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it won't be like, oh my god, if you didn't see the Scarlet Witch TV series, you're going to really be behind at this next movie. Mm. It's going to be, which I think actually sometimes the movies, you get to Infinity War, and if you haven't seen a couple of the other ones building up to it, you're going to wish you had.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this case, it's going to be like, oh, it doesn't matter, but if you did see it, you'll get why they're there already, or you'll get why maybe they've got a relationship with a certain character already because that character pops up in an episode. And also, Reese, Agent Carter season 3 has to be a part of this at some point.
Do you think it makes too much sense? Maybe.
I do.
If what's going to happen, which will happen, is that Captain America ends up in the past with, you know. Yes, getting please. That dance, right?
Oh my god, Reese.
Therefore,
I don't want to say it out loud too much, but honestly, if that doesn't happen in Endgame,
you'll kill yourself. You'll end your life. I've heard that.
Why have I wasted the last 10 years of my life on this shit? The man had a dance.
He's got to do that dance. I hope he does the Macarena.
In the Swan Club.
Yeah, has it been established what dance he will do, you know? Will he do the Gangnam Style dance? I'm ready for that.
Hey, Reese.
Hey!
Let's talk tangentially about Captain Marvel.
Uh-huh.
So I said that Kevin Feige was doing the press rounds for this. Something that he mentioned in an interview this week, which I thought was interesting, was just confirming an old MCU rumour. Right, this is mad, but Age of Ultron came out in 2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it not seem like that was a decade ago? The way that we cycled through Marvel movies and, like, you know, probably just the amount of movies that, like, Chris Evans has shown up in the MCU since then.
I mean, Robert
then.
Downey Jr. is 155 years old right now, so, I mean,
That is accurate, there we go. But there was a rumour at the time, and I remember in the build-ups to this movie, I think the rumours were that Doctor Strange could be showing up post-credits, but the big one, and this was in as the film was being shot and was in development, was we're going to meet Captain Marvel in this film. And actually, she might be the person that flies off with Hulk into space. She might be the one who takes him into space at the end of the movie. But I seem to remember specifically the rumours would be that she would kind of arrive during the final battle, kind of out of nowhere, fully formed as Captain Marvel, and would then be like in that lineup of Avengers at the end of the movie when the team is all split apart. And it would just be like, oh, so Captain Marvel's here now, and I guess we'll get her movie soon. Her individual movie obviously got pushed back. I think it was 2 years, didn't it? I think it was originally going to be maybe in the Ant-Man and the Wasp slot?
Sure.
But I think it was when the Spider-Man deal went down that Captain Marvel was one of the movies bumped. And Kevin Feige confirmed that was the plan to introduce Captain Marvel originally in Age of Ultron, or was at least Joss Whedon's plan. So she was in a draft of the script, and specifically, the rumour at the time was that they had shot a plate for her to be introduced in that final team shot at the end of Age of Ultron. And that ultimately was how they introduced Scarlet Witch kind of in full costume as part of the team. And apparently all of that was true, which is really interesting. And, you know, that was back when people were saying, Emily Blunt's come really close to being cast. Catherine Winnick's come close to being cast.
Who?
She was the actress in Vikings who was heavily linked to this role for a while. But I think Emily Blunt was the big one. This was around Edge of Tomorrow time when she felt like she was going to be the next big female action hero. When in fact she's just awesome in anything she's in. But that was like the second Marvel role that she came close to. Because she was nearly Black Widow as well.
Yep.
And had to pull out. Was it for Gulliver's Travels she had to go shoot?
What a choice.
Crazy, doesn't it?
Well, maybe.
I don't think it was her. I don't think it was her choice. I think it was.
It was Gulliver's. It was Gulliver's choice.
It was Gulliver's choice. But yeah, just interesting that, you know, those heavily rumoured things at the time. There's something. There's often something in them.
Mm.
And yeah, we almost got Captain Marvel introduced in Age of Ultron, which was only 4 years ago, but would really have changed things. And I think Kevin Feige's argument was that he kind of thought that it would have done a disservice to the character, and ultimately his argument decided was, not to do it.
His argument was, that's a bad idea. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
I think, and he was right. He was right. Of course he was right.
Yeah. But also, I think it was a bad idea to push this movie back.
Yes, yes. With the original release date, would the plated Captain Marvel in Ultron have led into that release or no?
No, I think it would have still been a few years down the line.
Well, so it's crappy. It's a stupid idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But interesting. Captain Marvel was originally going to appear in Age of Ultron.
Can I be honest with you? I'd have to check. I'd have to do a Google. But I could have sworn, because I read this same news story like yesterday or 2 days ago. But I swear to you, I read this fact like a year ago, and maybe it just wasn't picked up. I just read it on like a site, but
that happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. Like that. I mean that information was out there. Or maybe even when Ultron came out, that it was, you know, that they shot plates for Captain Marvel.
I don't think Feige ever confirmed it. I think it was that was the rumor, and now he's going.
Sure. What I'm saying is maybe cut this whole segment because it's not news, mate. Right? Yeah, it's like it is fake news.
It's real news, just delayed.
It's fake old news.
All of this news is old. Hey, this news is pretty fresh. Hey. Arrow is going to be ending after season 8.
Oh, sad.
It's the first of those, of that little pocket universe of TV shows.
It's called the Arrowverse. Please use it, the real name, all right? Or the Flarrowverse, if you must.
The Flarrowverse, yeah.
The Arrowverse.
So yeah, Reese, you actually sat down and watched Stephen Amell's kind of long video that he posted, teary video, I hear, about ending the show.
You see, sat down, I was in bed last night and I was going to go to bed, and I just had a little, you know, peruse as to what was happening. And it was there, it was live, I watched the whole thing, because I'm a secret Arrow fan, don't tell anybody. I watched the first four seasons, I think every episode, and I remember
you selling me hard on the first season of Arrow, at the time.
Oh, no, I know, I've read recaps of every episode since on the AV Club. Shout out to the AV Club.
Great website.
It's a great website.
it is.
I think what came across.
I read old Star Trek, the original series.
It's a great. Oh man, it's a great site. You think every so often you think it's like done because you read some news story about like, oh, it's been bought by this person and now they're reducing X, but like it's a great site. Anyway,
hey, frequent podcast Caroline Seder writes for the AV Club and does her amazing.
I love her column and I love her weekly reviews of Legends of Tomorrow, maybe? I'm not sure.
I was reading her Isn't It Romantic?
Yes.
Review just this week. It was good. Very good. I liked it.
But I think what came across in that Arrow video, you know, the recent one, the one of from Amell saying he's leaving the show, also explains why that show was a hit, I think, in a weird way, which is that he watched the video and, you know, this is a CW show, which, you know, it's not a major network in the US. It's a superhero show in its seventh year. It's probably not, I'm not sure at any point it's been the biggest rated show on the network. It's, you know, with all those factors in mind, but his sort of goodbye video, and this, you know, it's not even like, it's not even the final episode, not even the final season that they're in at the moment, but his sort of video, Twitter video explaining why he's leaving the show is so emotional and so.
Well, so he's not so leaving raw. The show. The show is ending.
Well, but if you just kind of digging into the details a little bit, I think he basically, his contract was up at the end of this current season, at the end of season 7, mm-hmm. I believe. And he sort of approached the producers and said, I think I'm done with this. I'm happy for the show to continue. But they all agreed that rather than do that, the show would end with an additional shorter season 8, a 10 episode season 8.
Ten episodes,
so that's what's going to happen. So the current season, which is season 7, will end kind of in the summer, and then from September season 8 will start, 10 episodes, so I guess it will end early next year, next calendar year.
And he's going to still pop up from time to time, isn't he? I get that impression.
Yes.
These characters are still going to show up maybe for a couple of episodes in The Flash or Supergirl or Legends of Tomorrow.
I also would have thought, you know, because in the timeline of his announcement suggests that he talked to the producer Greg Berlanti about him leaving before the most recent crossover episode, Elseworlds.
Yes.
Which in that episode teases some deal he's made with the Monitor, some deal he's made to save the life of Supergirl and Flash, if you look at the timing of it, basically the next crossover, which is quite short, and kind of times
will be
about with
ten episodes into those seasons.
So you kill a version of the current Oliver Queen in the current version of Arrow, and then that show ends. But there are multiverse versions of him. I mean, it's all great. I mean, all of those ideas are great. You end the show in a lovely way. You kill the character in a heroic way because they've done a lot with that character. You know, especially in the last couple of years, they've outed him, and then he's joined the police force, he's been mayor, like they've really, really churned through a lot of story with that character that it feels like that character is kind of done. Stephen Amell, even though he loves the character, maybe he's done as well. So it all the timing just feels really right. And Batwoman's coming out in the fall, so that, you know, you kind of have replaced the kind of angsty, crimey Batman-esque show with another one. It all just makes a lot of sense. And
you know what? I think it kind of feels appropriate that the show will have run for 8 years. So what, it starts in like 2011?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of around the time that the Avengers was happening on the big screen and when the cinematic universe idea was actually being realised. And they've done the same thing on the small screen, and they've done it in their own way that has been really successful and on brand for the channel that it's on. Now, whilst Arrow has got, you know, as you say, I'm told that the last couple of series have been a bit of a creative renaissance for the show, that it's probably a nice time to go away and kind of hand over the mantles to the other characters to carry on. And I'm sure at some point Flash will end and some point Supergirl will end. But I think that universe just keeps going because, you know,
it's really
they
rich.
Can cut...
Yeah.
And they can kind of go into all different corners of it. You know, you could do an Aquaman show in that universe.
Yeah. I mean, the most recent episode of Flash, which I haven't seen, but I read something about it, was Gorilla Grodd versus King Shark. Like they go big in that universe. They go Legend of Tomorrow at the very least. It goes every single week. Goes really
that show
really,
sounds
really big.
Nuts. Yeah.
So the span is really wide.
And I find that I personally don't have the time to sit down with most of those shows anymore. I've increasingly kind of veered back towards watching more movies than TV shows, and the TV shows I watch are kind of the ones that I'm really waiting for, really want to dig into. And the Flareverse shows aren't that. But you know what? If I was sat on the sofa and one of them came on, I would absolutely watch because I kind of feel like I know what I can expect. And that's like a fun show that the people involved with it really care about. And is fun in not your kind of naff Gotham way.
Yeah. And I think Arrow for me has been the most, just of the stuff I've seen of it, because I've watched all of them intermittently over the years. I think it's been the most consistently good, interesting, fun. I think it's the best one. And that's, and I think I'll probably watch every episode of the last season just for curiosity's sakes.
Yeah, I might jump back on and see what happens. It should be said, I imagine Stephen Amell, very interesting. There's an article which I would recommend everyone to read from the Hollywood Reporter back in 2016 about how Stephen Amell got involved with the convention circuit and set up his own talent agency to kind of help people who are in these kind of shows navigate the whole convention world and how to make money out of it. Apparently basically rubbed a lot of agents involved in that circuit really the wrong way. But apparently, so this article says that he tends to walk away with about $250,000 for every weekend that he shows up at a convention. which is more than he earns per episode for Arrow.
Huh.
So I think he's going to do all right.
Hmm.
I think he's going to do more than all right. Yeah, and it's probably a lovely little gig to kind of be the OG star of that universe who can kind of drop in whenever they need him or he needs them.
Because, you know, because that sort of fame within that world doesn't really fade in with the speed that it does in the kind of real world. You could probably be packing out those convention halls for 20 years.
There are people that appeared in one episode of The Next Generation. Look at Brent Spiner.
Yeah. Probably his entire kind of, you know, all of his costings, all of everything he's, you know, that he really needs to pay for in his life is probably covered by convention fees. He'll take the odd movie, he'll take, you know, the odd new independence movie, but that's probably all he does.
Hey Reese, so we've pulled one out for Arrow. I think we need to pull one out for the Netflix Marvel Universe. Jessica Jones and The Punisher both officially being cancelled. Eminem is not happy. Your thoughts?
Who? Eminem? Who? What?
Eminem.
Who?
I know you probably wouldn't know him, but he did the song for Venom.
Wait, what's his connection to this universe?
Eminem really likes The Punisher, and he's really upset that it's been cancelled.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Here's what I'd say. They're all kind of bad. The first season of Jessica Jones is good. All of the rest of them are bad. All of Daredevil is bad. And anyone that thinks differently is wrong. They're all bad. They're rubbish. It's crap. It's cheap. It's bad. It's, you know, the fact that in the most recent season, which I should also say, I've watched every episode of Daredevil, every second of every episode of that show. And I've sort of gotten out of it what I wanted to get out of it. But it is all bad. The fact that I don't even think Charlie Cox wears the costume for the whole of the most recent season. I don't think he wears it a single time. Bullseye, they call him Bullseye like two times. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They're ashamed of what it is. They're ashamed of the source material. And you know, maybe that approach appeals to somebody that isn't me. But then, you know, I feel like the view of the people that are making Daredevil on me. A nerd.
I think it's very clear from the last 2 minutes. It's very, very clear from the last 2 minutes of this podcast. What you want from superhero shows is more what Arrow does than what Daredevil does. Because Arrow and Daredevil are like the equivalents of their universes, right? And
I was so confused as to why Daredevil couldn't be more Arrow. It's not a budgetary thing. It's not like the fucking CW can afford to spend three times as much as Netflix and Marvel.
It had different ambitions, and I would say for all that I think as this Marvel experiment on Netflix draws to a close, ultimately it didn't work, and I think why each season of Marvel Netflix stuff is frustrating is because there is enough about each thing that you're like, oh god, this could be really good. Like, there is a performance, or there is an aesthetic, or there is an idea. The idea that Jessica Jones's first series was underpinned by the Vincent D'Onofrio performance. I think the perspective that Luke Cage had in its first 5 or 6 episodes. I think there's been interesting stuff in there, and every Marvel season that I've looked at, I've gone, do you know what? I could end up being really into this. And ultimately, it was like, but there was too much SAG. It was, it never felt like just a fully formed, enjoyable experience. And it's a shame, but
it's a shame. The fact
it
that
just
we
didn't
got,
it just yeah. didn't it didn't quite work.
If you think, if
but
you really
I,
think
I kind
about,
of enjoyed bits. I enjoyed I something about most of the shows that I watched.
But again, zip back 5 years and say that in 5 years' time, two seasons of a Luke Cage TV show on Netflix, co-produced with Marvel. Two seasons of a Jessica Jones show. 3 seasons of a Daredevil show. On Netflix, co-produced
where
by Marvel.
Generally they got the where they got the casting right kind
they,
of
they absolutely did, and then but we you know we didn't you know let's put Iron Fist aside actually let's put Iron Fist genuinely aside and but you know you say you've got all of that But in that, there's maybe like five good episodes of TV. Like you'd be so disappointed. That is crushing. That is such a disappointment because it's not like anything in those characters needs it to be a movie or needs it to be, you know, on paper. Like that should work. It should always have worked. And that is why the Netflix Marvel stuff. It kind of was a disappointment from year two on because it was never as good as it should have been, and it should have been good.
But like I say, I think every show, Iron Fist and The Defenders aside, has had stuff that you go, but that is good about it. Well, that's an element of it.
It's 2019,
I
know it's 2018, 2017. Yeah. There's enough TV that's great for every minute of it. There's no time. I'm not gonna give this stuff time to figure itself out. You know, we are at hashtag
BTV. Those shows wouldn't have figured themselves out. They were happy with the kind of shows they were. That was abundantly clear. I think the notable thing here is that Jessica Jones and The Punisher have been cancelled before kind of they're done. They both have seasons coming, but that will be it, and that is all of the Netflix Marvel shows cancelled. I don't now think they're coming back in any way.
No.
On Disney Plus. I think it's over, Reese. That is very sad for the Daredevil fans who have erected a billboard in Times Square.
I know.
To say they want to save the show.
But out of all of it, that's the interesting character. Daredevil is because you know he clearly so you know Punisher. Well, I would say Punisher has got a similar profile, but what the character is you know it's sort of. Are you going to get another film? Are you going to get another TV show? Daredevil's the sort of character that he's a superhero. In the comics, at least, he is a superhero. Interacts with all the other, you know, interacts with Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, all of them.
Once there's enough distance here, there will be, at some point, a couple of years down the line, Kevin Feige will say, officially, it's not canon. And we're going to do these characters on the big screen.
Do you think the Daredevil is another gets another big screen outing? Do you think the Punisher does?
Yeah. Okay. No, I think not for Disney. I think you could do versions of most of that. I think it's difficult with Jessica Jones unless you fundamentally change the origin. But I think the like Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Daredevil, you could do versions of in the MCU. Yeah. But not for a while. Anyway, we've got the Eternals to look forward to first.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah. So, Reese, that's it for all of the movie news and TV news this week. We've done it all.
Shit. Have we got a pitch? Is there a pitch to do? I'm up for
no,
a pitch.
It's not, no, no. That's in the main episode now.
I'll do a pitch. Let me do a pitch. No, I'm fine.
Finish your crisps and go to bed.
I've done the crisps. I've got raspberries to eat. I do have raspberries I can eat.
Great. And I need to finish my beer. But yeah, that is it for this week's show. Reese, thanks for joining us, for joining me. Is there anything you want to plug? Again?
Yeah, my cinema, Olympic Studios in Barnes of West London. It's the best cinema in the world. You should come.
It is very nice.
No, Joey, go bigger than that. Go bigger.
It's really nice.
Go bigger!
Oh, it's so nice.
No, it's one of the... I will couch up to say it was the best cinema in the world. They went to a cinema in New York last week called the Metrograph, which I think is the best cinema in the world. So it's the second best cinema in the world. But you know what? If you're in London, that's pretty good still. So come on down.
I like the Broadway, Reese, in Nottingham. It's nice.
Fine. It's a good one.
It is a good one. Playfield. They're both good.
They're all good. It's all good. Cinema's good. We love cinema. We love it.
Yeah. Are you showing Captain Marvel?
Hell yeah. In a few weeks.
So, guys, if you're around the Barnes area in a few weeks, head to Olympic Studios and watch Captain Marvel. And hey, listeners, don't forget that the next episode of the show is on Captain Marvel.
Jesus, man. Well done.
Haven't seen it yet. Very excited. I've heard it's fine.
Right. Yeah. 3 stars, baby.
I mean, when was the last time that Marvel introduced it? I mean, well, Black Panther. But mostly, they tend to, when they're introducing characters on screen for the first time, it tends to be, I really like the character. Movie was fine. I can't wait for the next time they do that character really right. That's the most important thing. It's all part of the story, Reese.
It's all part of the story. The next episode will be good. Yeah, it's not a fundamental breakdown of how these guys make these movies. It's all part of the pal.
Hey, we'll see. We'll see. I normally think the opposite with Marvel movies to the mainstream anyway.
Which means in this one you'll think it's great or you'll think it's trash. I wonder what that means. We'll see.
I'll have a hot take.
You'll have the hottest of hot takes.
I'll warm it up.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's it for this week's show. The next episode is on Captain Marvel. If you're enjoying the show, then please do subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/cinematicuniverse. You can find us on cinematicuniverse.com. You can get in touch via Facebook, on Twitter, @cine_verse, or send us an email to editorial@cinematicuniverse.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.